If I have my glasses on, I can't see you, but I can see my text. Greetings and salutations. It is good to be here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in need of you. We need Jesus. We need you, O God, to change us, mold us, shape us after the manner of your will for our lives. We pray that you'd conform us to the image of Jesus. God, we confess that your ways are higher than our ways, and we confess that your thoughts are not our thoughts. And we pray that this morning you'd make our thoughts your thoughts. Change our thoughts, O God. Lord, we thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all that we have in him. Just, oh, so great the salvation we embrace. So, Father, this morning we ask for your grace to be upon our lives. Grace to speak, grace to hear, grace to know. Would you grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to know you? Change us, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Let's all stand briefly, if we would, as we read. Stand if you can. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You may be seated. This message has been brewing in me for some time only because of what God has been dealing with my own heart. I want you to know that I am not a master at understanding this text. I would like you to know that I am a work in progress, even as you are a work in progress. I want you to know that I know less now than I did what I thought I did 30 years ago. God is constantly challenging me, changing me, asking me to conform and see as Jesus sees. When God asks us of that, sometimes it's very scary because we can't see the other step that God's going to ask us to take. All the time, God asks us to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you know it's easier to walk by sight and not by faith? So as I share this morning, I don't have it all down pat. I don't have all the answers. I know that some of you will share with me some things of insights, and some of you already have, and I'm grateful for it, which is pretty awesome. But isn't God all about, as we look to him and we see him and we want more of him, because we see the results of our own lives, our own efforts, and we see what God brings in all of eternity, the joy, the peace, the love, thinking that we can't love someone or we don't want to love someone, yet he causes us to love someone only to find that the person that we began to love that we couldn't love is really a wonderful person and very important in our lives. So please understand, as I share some things this morning, it's a work in progress. I would love to tell you this morning that in the whole concept of the sowing and reaping, and how well do we understand, do we even consider on a daily basis that we are constantly sowing and reaping to something? Do you ever think of that? There's times we think of it, but we usually think of when the harvest is coming in and we think, how in the world did I get here? I'm pretty good at that. We could probably put Dean up here on a chair and just fire questions at him all about sowing and reaping, planting and not planting. I asked Dean some time ago, Dean, in all the seeds and all the flowers that you've ever planted, did you ever plant something thinking that you were going to plant something and got something different? And he said, yes, just once. Now that's kind of fascinating. A gentleman who probably knows seeds left and right, what they are from the very moment of being able to get them out of a package. I don't. I just look at the package and plant them. But myself, I'm seeing a lot of things from the Scripture as I walk in a daily life and go back to the Scripture, and God gives us glimpses, because many times in the Scriptures, God will say spiritual things and all of a sudden He'll give us a natural application, or He'll give us some natural thing that will teach us things about God Himself. The Scripture starts out and says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. That word implies don't be taken away from the truth or the absolute of who God is. And it says, God will not be mocked. That word mock gives the impression of us having our nose up towards God, just snubbing God. God will not be mocked. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. Are we the counselors of God? Has God come to us and asked us anything of what He is involved in, what He's doing? He doesn't. One of the greatest things I've come to understand is God doesn't need us. He wants us. And you know what? We don't want God in our own natural desires, but we need God. Do you understand that? God doesn't need us. He wants us. It's so awesome to recognize that there's something we want, and yet God's burning desire of want is greater than we could ever consider. God wants us. He wants our hearts. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And the thing about sowing and reaping, what we plant, we get. And what we plant in one, we get many. That's a very simple concept of sowing and reaping. You plant one tomato seed, how many tomatoes you get? I get so many that I can't eat them all. There's many that fall on the ground. And my wife gets a little discouraged with me at times because I get these grandiose ideas about planting as much as I can. And I can't eat it all. I can't give enough away. And when I say she gets discouraged with me, she just knows at times I have these big eyes. And she knows that I'll be busy in life and won't be able to take care of everything the way that I need to take care of it. The concept is when you plant one, you get many. So we in our own lives, as we sow, it's of God's mercies what we reap. Now, let me share with you just a few things here. When we enter into sowing, sowing is all about choices. You choose. One of the biggest sayings that I've been saying here for the last couple of years is life is lived by choices. I work in an environment where I have the privilege to be able to train all the new guys who come in, and the guys can range from 18 all the way up to 30, even 35 years old. I have 10 individuals underneath me right now that I'm training the process of the manufacturing that I do. And many of those young guys who come in, they get a job. They start out at $10 an hour. They make a pretty good wage. They can almost write their own paycheck for overtime. And they all of a sudden see they're getting this $500 check and start getting it consistently. We've never had a layoff as a company. We've had firings, no layoff. And then all of a sudden, these guys go out and will purchase something And then all of a sudden you begin to hear, like a truck, like a snowmobile, like a motorcycle, all these things, not recognizing that they still have responsibilities. It doesn't make any sense to me when I have a young man who says, I got a $400 payment and the insurance for that is $483 a month. I'm shaking my head, and why would you do it? Oh, I just got to have this truck. Why? Because my buddy has it. Okay, you made a choice here. Now you're going to feel the pinches of those choices. Every one of us, well, you know what? This morning, you got up. Lord willing, we're going to have a picnic. You made a choice exactly what you're going to put on today. That's a choice. Life is lived by choices. I chose not to wear a U of M shirt to preach in because I didn't want to be a distraction to you this morning. Okay? Amen. Amen. I knew I'd get that from you, Jim. At the exhortation of my wife, you should probably dress with a shirt. So, life is lived by choices. So when we go back to this concept of sowing and reaping, and we planted our garden this year, I chose not only the seeds I wanted to plant, I chose how I wanted to till up the ground, I chose how I wanted to, what rows I wanted to put from different from last year. We chose everything about the whole process of what we were planting in the ground. Unfortunately, we as believers do not consciously always choose, but we act out on choices. What do I mean by that? Before this day is over and we go home to our own homes, you are going to be sowing to either the flesh or the spirit. And we can choose that. The flesh, as we sow to the flesh, it is simply just that, flesh. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about me, 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 me. It's what am I going to gain from my sow to? How is this going to benefit moi? When we have to sow, or when we need to sow in the Spirit, it takes the Holy Spirit in our lives to sow to it. Well, what does that look like sometimes as far as the flesh? If we go along to people in our lives and we greet people and we love on people and we greet them, and then all of a sudden we come to somebody we don't really like, and I'm picking on my brother here, and he knows I love him, and I don't fully receive him the way that God wants me to receive him, what am I really saying in my sowing here? We pick and choose who and how we sow in our lives, in our relationships. So just in that small area of our lives, I'm sowing love, sowing love, sowing, sowing love, sowing love, sowing love. And unfortunately, because of personalities, and we don't have a problem with each other, do we? I just want you to know, I'm not, and I'm picking on him because I know we can receive that pretty easy. And we pick and choose because of a difference of a personality, or because, you know, he said that, or, you know, he's got U of M on, and I'm Ohio State, or, you know, and none of that should make a difference when we're living for Christ. When Christ has put his name and his life in us, then God really wants us to fully receive individuals and bring them in. And unfortunately, as we go through life, some of that's difficult, but it's also growing for him and for me. And we don't see the benefit that as we see Christ in him, and he sees Christ in me, that there's some working out that's got to take place. But God wants us to sow to good things. If I allow that to continue on, then what am I going to really reap? Because eventually it's not just going to affect him, and I allow that to stay. The crop then all of a sudden is I begin to cut off other people. I begin to reject other people just because, okay, He's got an Ohio State. Well, then, if I had that attitude, how many Ohio States in here would I begin to cut off? Okay? I know David's here. But it's the same sense. Would you reject me because I'm Michigan? Don't answer that. No. So, what are we sowing to? What about peace? What about we experience peace in the house of God as we gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but then all of a sudden we get into a certain situation, whatever it might be, and we're not allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts in this particular situation, and we're in turmoil. We're sowing to that. And all of a sudden we're reacting. We're causing a greater commotion. We're causing a greater problem in this particular situation when God would want us to be peacemakers versus troublemakers. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain sowing, reaping. Right? Yes? No? What's interesting is there's a verse in Corinthians, and Daniel, I believe it was Daniel, spoke on it, about Paul plants, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And it says that in the very next verse, it communicates that Paul and Apollos are one, but the one that's important is the one who gives the increase. Now, last year, just some basic things about sowing and reaping. Last year, in my garden, somebody told me about planting rye because it would be replenish the ground. I've never done it before, and I asked them, how do you do that? So I went and got a bag of rye, and they said, just cast it out and just cover the ground as much as you possibly can. I said, okay, that'll be great. So my garden's not very big. So I got the bag of rye, and I cast it as much as I could, as heavy as I could, and then raked it in. And in about 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks, it starts to grow up. And then I went out to the garden, and I'm seeing spots. There's nothing there. I knew I sowed enough to where I was going to cover the whole thing. Well, what happened? Truthfully, I don't fully know what happened. But I saw there that God was the one who chose what would come up and what would not come up. I did what I believed I should have done, naturally, okay? Now, is my ground better because this year I turned it under? I hope it is. I think it is. I'm going to do it again this year. We'll see how it goes. But also, on a different area, last year I planted close to 40 cloves of garlic. I planted it the year before, and every clove came up. That's pretty awesome. I planted in the fall. In the fall, it starts to grow. Winter comes, and I'm sorry, the fall, it does not grow. Planted it. Springtime, even when it's still cold out, that little garlic starts coming up. And I love garlic. And so last year, I planted close to 40 cloves in the fall. And I go out there just excited, looking forward to what's going to take place. And I look down, and only two cloves came up. And I thought, Lord, why? I didn't do anything different. Why? And many of us were benefactors of Lynette blessing us with garlic this year. And unfortunately, I planted that, and that garlic didn't come up either. And she had asked me that, and so am I a poor gardener? Possibly. But I don't know why they didn't come up. Bottom line is, am I still going to trust God with the fruit of my labors? I was sowing good seeds. I was putting good seeds in the ground. And it didn't come up. We in our lives spiritually sow good seeds. One person who I'm grateful for, and I'm learning a lot from, and he doesn't even know that. And I'm gonna mention, and it's It's David Kaiser. David and Kelly sowing daily good things down at Western Ave. And at times they see a lot of fruit, and sometimes they see no fruit. And yet they don't stop sowing. And that's a key to our lives. Is just because we don't see the good fruit coming up doesn't mean that we stop sowing. We continue to sow. Continue to sow. When you plant something in the life of someone else, it has a much bigger effect than you'll ever consider. If you plant selfishness in your own life and try to enter into a relationship or a friendship, and all you're going to do is be selfish, you're going to plant so much, the crop that will come from that is not going to be pretty, is not going to be nice, it's not going to be beneficial, it's not going to be profitable. But when you die to yourself and give of yourself to an individual or others or your family or loved ones or people here at the church or Sunday school teachers into the lives of our children, what the opportunity or the potential for wonderful, everlasting fruit to take place in those lives is beyond our comprehension. Because our Heavenly Father has the opportunity to take one little seed that is planted and produce so much more. That is so true. It's true in the natural. I planted my potato plants this year. I planted Redskins. I love Redskins. And I planted them. I planted them in nice rows. And I tried something different I've never done before. Planted them, put all kinds of good stuff on it. Did my furrows, build hills, everything. And these keep growing. And beautiful plants. Then they didn't flower. And I thought, Lord, why? And I asked the Lord, why didn't they flower? Somebody, you might already know this, the reason. I don't know. I have no idea why they didn't flower. So I'm curious now. These plants are starting to die. And so I'm curious, do I have any potatoes? So I go in this one spot, dug it up, and I had like seven little potatoes, new potatoes. I thought, wow. One potato I planted, I got seven. Isn't God good? I'm looking forward to digging up all those rows now and having some nice potatoes. It is God who gives the increase. But unfortunately, if we sow to the flesh, the increase that comes is wickedness. It's ugliness. What do we have to do for that to take place? Just live in the flesh. Don't live in the spirit. But yet we're commanded, even here in the previous chapter of Galatians chapter 5, we're told to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And I will share this with you. Some of the times we're asked to do things and we want a picture or we want a list of how this is done. You know, the Scripture says you're to walk in the Spirit, therefore you won't obey the lusts of the flesh. Well, what does it look like? You can say, John, can you give me a list? Can you, you know, where's the 5 points or where's the 10 points that tells me how I can do that in the Scriptures? There isn't any. Why? Because if there was, then we just enter into a mechanical operation of our own lives, and then all we do is begin to produce it in the flesh. Therefore, we're dependent upon our lists, and we're not dependent upon Christ. God wants our eyes and our focus to be on Jesus Christ, because as we live and see Christ and how He lived, then we can begin to walk in the Spirit. We'll hear the Spirit voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me." That's a wonderful thing. Sowing in the Spirit takes the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We can say no. John, I want you to love Richard. I want you to, and I don't know your first name. I just know you, Florence. I always call her Mrs. Coots. I want you to love, John, I want you to love. I want you to love. Am I going to obey the Holy Spirit's prompting? Oh, God, this is so hard. God, you don't understand. You don't know the conversation. You don't know what he said. God, what he said is painful. What he said is hurtful. What he's, you know, even just how he looks at me. But God, John, I want you to love Ken. But God, I can't love Ken. Okay, I'll love him through you. There's a difference. Are we willing to be the vessel that God wants to use to be his channel of love for others, to be his channel of peace for others, to be his channel of joy for others? Are we sowing in that in our lives so that we can sow in the lives of others? Or are we going to just allow the flesh to take over, and that flesh will create the distance between our lives? So therefore, we have a choice. We have a choice in that. Are we going to submit to the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father and his teaching of his word through the life of Jesus Christ? Or are we going to walk in our own ways? Are you going to sow to your own flesh? You're sow to your own desires? Now, let me stop here for a moment, and I want to pick on us as fathers. This was supposed to be a Father's Day message. So, dads, even moms too, you have your little children. I remember having Wes. I'm sorry, Chris had Wes. I supported, okay? That was a growing experience in itself, you know. God had already told me that he was going to be a boy. We didn't have ultrasounds. We didn't know. God told me, you're going to have a boy. I had a boy, and wow, wow, wow. We had three children. As we have the three children, Dad gets busy in church, begins to neglect his family. Really and truly, my wife and I should be a statistic of divorce. We're not. It's of God's mercies. You know, it's of God's mercies that we are not consumed. We deserve and worse, and God blesses us because of the cross. But of God's mercy, as I just get busy and distracted what I should be doing, and I'm sowing. I think I'm sowing to righteous things. I think I'm sowing to good things. But I'm losing my family. Am I really doing what God's calling me to do? My family is my credentials for my life. If it doesn't work at home, don't export it. It's real. It's true. So because of my busyness, and I really thought I was doing a lot of good sowing. Well, I wasn't sowing at home. I wasn't sowing with my wife. I wasn't sowing in her life. And because of the busyness, I began to lose the heart of my whole family. And God in his mercy showed me what my failures were. I was able to seek the Lord and ask his forgiveness and repent. And God began to turn my heart drastically in ways that was just a very good thing. Now, it doesn't mean that my heart hasn't slipped away or been distracted over the years. But God began to set our hearts, my wife and my heart, towards raising our kids for the Lord. And when that began to take place, we began to make conscious decisions and choices that we were going to sow into their lives so that we could see some very good fruit. Or trust the Lord for some very good fruit. We made choices at times when everyone around us was criticizing us and saying we were foolish, you can't do that, you're going to destroy your kid, what about socialization, what about this, what about that. Even there was not one family member on her side or my side that supported. We decided when our children was 4 or 5 that we were going to home educate. I don't think home education is better than anything else. I think the key to raising our kids, and hear this out, the key to raising your kids is you've got to have their hearts. It's no different than our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father wants one thing from us. What is that? He wants our hearts. And so if we have our children's hearts and we've invested in them and sowed good seeds in them by the Holy Spirit, we can have confidence that when they go into a situation, there's an opportunity for them to stand alone and stand for Christ because of what God is doing in their lives. And so when we, my wife and I, set out to win their hearts over, to invest in their lives for the cause of Christ, we chose to home educate everyone. And it was during the time back in the early 80s when it was against the law in the state of Michigan to home educate. If we would have been found out from our public school system that we were in, we could have been put in jail for it. We believe that's what God wanted to do. And as we poured into them, they got dad, they got mom. It wasn't easy. But when our children got to be 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, there was many in our families that came to us and said, you know what? We were wrong. Because we see the fruit of your children right now. We see the hearts of your children. Your children can interact more with adults than some other children that we've ever seen. Chris's grandmother said, she passed here just a year ago, said to us, said, you know, I've never seen two boys in a family who want so much their sister to play with them and be a part of their lives. That really is a testimony of God working in their lives. My kids love each other, and I'm grateful for that. And that's a work of God. And unfortunately, I was raised in a situation where I couldn't stand my siblings. I was not raised in a Christian home because it was all the flesh and the wickedness and all that took place. And yet, over the years, as God has changed me, my heart for my own siblings now, I have a very good relationship with my older brother. I had a very good relationship with my sister who went, I believe, to be home with the Lord back in June. And we're trying to work on other relationships in my family to see that God can just redeem and regroup and reclaim for His name's sake. And we want God to produce very good fruit in those lives. Now, Dad, what happens? Here's what's happening in our lives. Because we are not paying attention, we don't understand fully what we're sowing in our homes, all of a sudden we come to a place in our lives, in our, you know, whether it be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, because we are so self-centered men, and we expect or anticipate our wives to submit because they're supposed to, not really recognizing that we're supposed to love them as Christ loved the church. Or our children are getting angry with us because we're actually doing things that's causing them to become angry. And then all of a sudden, over 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, this crop comes in, this crop of total ugliness comes in. And we say, where did this come from? The first thing we've got to do is consider and look at ourselves individually and say, you know, am I responsible for this crop because of what I've been planting? Now, I don't want to speak in absolutes and say it's always that, because there's an enemy. There's a wicked one. There's an evil one, Satan, who is constantly sowing wicked seed all the time. Okay? So we've got to consider us as fathers, where our families are at. God's going to hold us accountable for our family, for our wives? Have you been the father? Have you been the husband? You should have been. Recognize what has brought us to that place. Now, I don't want to leave on a note of discouragement there, because there's hope. There's always hope. When a farmer sows, let's say we've come to a place when the crop comes in and it's not what we believe God wants that crop to be. What can we do? What can we do? All of a sudden we've got this host of unwanted harvest. What can we do? One, know that Christ is your Savior. Know that you know Christ is your Savior. Why? Because He's the Redeemer. He's the one that can change all things. He's the one that can drastically change your life. And you say, how can that be so? You take somebody who comes to Christ in their 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and they look back and say, oh, my life is wasted. And all of a sudden, God gloriously changes them, and they have a new direction. God totally changes everything. They still have a little effect of their previous life, but God then sets them in a new way. You know, when a farmer plants, let me back up here, I guess. The crop comes in. Know Christ as your Savior. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And don't say, yeah, I know Him. Well, then if I was to say, have you trusted Christ? Have you asked Him to come into your life and save you? And you said, yeah, I think I have. No. That's not what I said. I don't want you to think. The Scripture says you may know that you have eternal life. I spoke with someone one time. I asked the question, how do you know He's in there? And, well, I just know. I said, have you asked Him? No. Well, unfortunately, we have a Savior who's a perfect gentleman, and He doesn't come in unless He's asked. And so, when that person came to the room, I haven't asked. It was a young lady. She came to Christ right there. Trusted Christ as her Savior. And it was just a glorious moment. She knew. She said, I'm different. I'm changed. Wow. I feel like the weight of the world is off me. So just don't assume that you're saved. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Two, as a believer, as a born-again believer, and you got this whole crop coming in, and you're not even aware of what you're sowing. We heard a message a couple weeks ago by Terry. Two, repent. Repent. You say, well, I did when I came to Christ. No. Repentance is not spoken enough amongst us as believers. We've got to repent daily. Are you a repenting repenter? That's what it comes down to being. Are you saying yes to Christ and turning away from your sin? When we're sown to the flesh, we've got to repent. We've got to recognize it as flesh for exactly what it is and turn and repent and come to Christ and live in Christ, live for Christ. Now, none of this can be done apart from grace. So I'm not asking you to do something in the flesh. I'm asking you to cry out to God for grace. You can't repent without grace. You can't come to Christ without grace. So please understand, I'm starting at grace and asking you to do these things. We can't even sow to the Spirit apart from the grace of God. Two, repent. Three, as we repent, and I'll say this to the fathers. Fathers, you may need to go to your whole family and ask them to forgive you because you've not been the man God wants you to be. I had to go to my wife, and there's still many times I still have to go to my wife and ask her to forgive me because I'm just a knucklehead. I'm just a selfish individual who wants his way. You'd think that I'm 53 years old, but yet I'm just a two-year-old wanting my own way, just want to cry and have my tantrum on the floor. Got to go to others and ask them to forgive you. God will provide the grace. God will provide the courage. God will provide the peace. God will provide the opportunity. God showed me where I was wrong in some areas of my life. And I told him, I said, God, these people, when you bring them to my life, it's my desire to make it right. And that's what God wants. Then, start sowing in the Spirit. Start sowing in the Spirit. Just sow. You know what a farmer does to keep weeds out? A farmer keeps weeds out by planting a lot of seed. Farmer keeps weeds out by planting the plants closer together and sowing a lot. And what's interesting, and I heard this from a farmer some years ago, he said, do you know what a weed is? He said, do you remember you go out to a field and you see nothing but soybeans, all of a sudden you see one ear of corn, you know, one plant, see another one, you see another one, you know, that's all good seed, right? The farmer says that corn's a weed. A weed is something that doesn't belong. But it's a good, well, that corn all by itself is not going to produce a good fruit. It needs other corn. Start sowing in the Spirit. Start yielding your life. God, come to the place, God, I need you. God, I need you. I confess I can't love Ken the way you want me to love him. See, you see, if I have an attitude of I don't want to, I've got to come to the point of, God, I want to. And God makes us have that want to. But then God will empower us by his grace to be able to love. So when we come to that place of saying, God, I need you. I can't do it. God, I need you. I can't do it. We're able to find grace. You see, John the Baptist in John 3:30 says, I must decrease and he must increase. Do you think John the Baptist understood some things that we need to come to a full understanding ourselves? There's times my wife will say, boy, that is nothing but flesh and that stinks. She's right. There's times my kids will say, Dad, you're being selfish. I am. Dad needs to be called out on the carpet at times. And then I can repent and ask God forgiveness. Give yourself to prayer. Start sowing in the Spirit. Give yourself to prayer. Psalm 109 verse 4 says, I give myself to prayer. You know what prayer is? Prayer is demonstrating to God that we just have a dependence upon the Lord and not dependent upon ourselves. The whole Psalms is just saturated with the word prayer. I'd encourage you to do a study just on prayer through the Psalms, and you'll see, oh God, hear the cry of my heart. Is your heart crying out to God for a change? Is your heart, are you recognizing that the crop that has come in of sowing, have you turned to the one who can change not only you but also the crop to where it would stop and change the crop? Because you can't do it in your own strength. It'll be the same ugly crop. And then next, be in the Word. Let the Word be the meditation of your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in your heart richly. Be in the Word. And not just be in the Word, but then begin to obey the Word. And when God gives you something that He wants you to obey, ask Him for grace to obey. Read my Bible. Love one another. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thyself, thy neighbor as thy neighbor as thyself. Am I willing to obey the Word? If I had a Michigan shirt on today, you have to love me. If you're a believer. Just as if you had an Ohio State shirt on, I have to love you. Because I'm a believer. It doesn't matter. Would you bow your heads with me? We'll close. I don't know where you're at this morning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What fruits in your life right now that you've been sowing? And maybe God's brought something to your mind. Wow, that crop is not very pretty. That crop is not pleasing unto the Lord. That crop. Please let me encourage you to know that you know Christ as Savior. Please let me encourage you that if you are a believer to repent, and in repenting, be prepared to do what God asks you to do. And then if you're not in the Word, be in the Word. If you're not praying, be praying. If you haven't yielded yourself to Christ, now's a good time to do that. Father, we confess that we need you. I need thee every hour. Lord, we need your grace. We can't do this alone. We can't muster in our own strength to be able to walk in the Spirit. We need you. We need you. So, Father, we pray that you'd give a lot of grace to allow us to decrease so that you might increase, that others might see Jesus in us, the crucified, risen Savior whom we love. We love because he's loved us first. And yet, Father, from that, would you just allow us to walk in ways that would bring honor and glory to you. Father, have mercy on our lives, O God. Have mercy. Lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, we pray. And Father, minister to all our hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.